A good Monday morning to you. It is time now for the life you've always wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and your hosts are W.K. and Ken Boyce, and good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, everyone. Actually turning out to be a beautiful morning with the sun coming up, finally warming up. 21 degrees when I took my daughters to school this morning.
But it is warming up outside. We have plenty of sunshine here in the Ozarks. If you've not gotten outside yet this morning, be sure you get outside and enjoy the sunshine, even though it's a little chilly. We all need sunshine every day. Especially if we're having anxiety or depression, it's good to get outside and to enjoy the sunshine, especially around noontime. And about 30 minutes to an hour, 30, 45 minutes, somewhere around there, it can really help.
This morning, we're going to be discussing a lot of things pertaining to parenting. Every week, this show is brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. If you'd like to take a look and check us out, go to SpringfieldMFI for MarriageandFamilyInstitute.com. SpringfieldMFI.com. SpringfieldMFI, we do a number of things all related to making life better, to getting the most out of life, whether it's as an individual, a couple, or as a family. It is the mission, the absolute mission of the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, that we become all we can be to the glory of God, and that our life, our love, our family, all of that is brought to its fullest potential. And we do that through a lot of different ways. At Springfield MFI, we have counseling that we do individually, couples and families. We also have small groups that are support groups. And this holiday season, we've launched a support group called Missing Stockings. It is available for those that are having difficulty this holiday season because someone is not there. This is supposed to be a happy time. The holiday seasons are a magnifying glass. And if your family is doing great, then the holidays just magnify that, and you get this overwhelming flood of love and good emotions and the spirit of the holidays. But if someone's missing, if someone's not there, the holidays can bring us an amount of anxiety and depression, and the holidays then magnify that. The holidays are meant to be a happy time. Sometimes we just need to be able to talk about it. We need to be able to express ourselves. We need to be able to say, I'm hurting because this person's not here. There's where missing stockings come in. We have other people that in the community that are sharing the exact same thing. And to be able to talk about it, to be able to work through it, is what we're there for. If you'd like to talk to someone, to be able to tell someone how much it hurts, how angry you are, that they're not here, it's okay. Give us a call at 882-6767. That's 882-6767. And it's Missing Stockings Support Group. It's scheduled to meet every Monday morning at 10 a.m. and is facilitated by a counselor, but in a group setting to where we can tell and express what's going on in our lives. Another thing to give you a heads up on, Valentine's Day. At least Valentine's Day weekend. I know February 15th and 16th, you're going, Ken, I'm not even through Christmas yet. What are you talking about Valentine's Day? Well, this is a heads up, because this isn't just about Valentine's Day. This is about being a couple. This is about our marriage. This is a marriage excitement weekend that is coming. This is an incredible time, February 15th and 16th, down at the Chateau on the Lake. And if you'd like further details, go to SpringfieldMFI.com or give us a call at 882-6767. This is going to be an incredible time to refocus, to re-energize, and just put the magic back in our marriages. That's coming up February 15th and 16th. Stay tuned for further details.
Yes, I do encourage you to stay tuned and check out our website, SpringfieldMFI.com, to understand the details. The theme of this Valentine's Day weekend is love ever after. Love ever after. Is love just the thing of fairy tales? Or can we really have love all of our life? That's what we will be talking about, what we'll be celebrating. But it's also just the weekend for the two of us as couples to get away at a beautiful hotel to celebrate our love and to reconnect. Get away from the kids, away from jobs, get away from phones and TVs, and just the two be there together. I really encourage you to stay tuned for that for more details.
Say, it is magical. It is absolutely magical. This morning we're talking about parenting. It's an absolutely amazing thing to live through and to experience, to become a parent. It is one of life's biggest challenges, and it's one of the most rewarding things that happen. And so many times, we take our kids for granted. We take the whole experience for granted. There's a certain excitement with the first one. Then the anxiety sets in by the third one. So, but children are an amazing gift of God. And how do we raise them? How do we bring out the best at who they are and who they can be? We're going to be discussing that this morning. If you'd like to give us a call at 862-9977. That's 862-9977. If you're outside the area, you're listening online, give us a call toll-free at 800-375-0056. 800-375-0056. If you have a story to tell about your kids, if you have just an opinion, give us a call.
Yeah, this morning we were talking about parenting and about what it takes to be parenting. As Ken said, it's an exciting time when we become a parent, but it's also an exciting time as we watch them grow and to understand that this is a process, that children are not little adults, but they are in the process of maturing and developing every year of their life. So parenting is probably the most exciting experience we can ever have, but it's also the most exhausting work we will ever do. Parenting is exhausting work. But as we begin this morning talking about parenting, and especially in the holiday season, when schedules are interrupted and routine is interrupted, it's important to know that we can still have sanity in our home. We can bring peace into our home and into the time that children are with us. They're in school, then they're out of school, and we're making trips and going places and shopping and doing all kinds of things. But we just need to know that we can have peace, and we can have peace of mind, and we can have order in our home. It doesn't have to be chaos. And so when we talk about parenting, we need to talk about the ability to live in peace in the process of parenting our children through the holiday season. And we're going to talk about some skills needed to do that. You know, there's six life skills that children need to thrive. There are six life skills. The first one is attachment. You know, that says, I have a grown-up who cherishes me and keeps me safe. That's attachment. The second one is affiliation. That's the second life skill, is affiliation. Affiliation means I'm a part of the group. I'm not separate from the group. I'm a part of the group. I'm a part of the family. The third life skill is self-regulation. Children need to be taught self-regulation, and this skill of I can manage my emotions and I'm in control of my behavior. And many times our children's emotions and their behavior seem to be out of control, but children need to be taught how to manage their emotions and to control their behavior. The fourth life skill is problem solving. And this says, a child says to themselves, I can solve problems and I can resolve conflicts effectively. The fifth life skill is initiative, where I'm growing and changing and learning new things, and it's okay. You know, play to a child is their profession, it's their occupation. Learning new things to a child is what they're occupied with, that is their occupation. And they're constantly changing. About the time they figure out what their body is and where their body changes and they run into door facings and stumble over coffee tables because their body's changing faster than their self-awareness. But it's okay for a child to change. It's okay for all of us to change, but it's okay especially for children. And the sixth life skill is respect. Respect. Where a child believes, I have unique gifts and challenges and so do other people. And so we need to develop those life skills. We're in the process of developing those life skills in our children by parenting in effective ways that teaches them how to have attachment, affiliation, self-regulation, problem-solving skills, initiative, and respect for all people.
I'm just reminded, so many times I think, becoming a parent, Rodney Dangerfield once said, and if it, I know a lot of you went, oh great, what's Rodney going to say? He goes, the best thing about having kids is making them. That's also the easiest part about having kids. But so many times, we miss out because we don't necessarily know how to get the full enjoyment from raising our kids. Bringing a child into the world is one thing. But to truly be able to raise that child, to live life through their eyes in some ways, to know how to parent, they didn't arrive with an instruction manual.
Oh, that is so true. Yeah, that is so true. And I know that when you're a young parent especially, it seems like parenting is never going to end. It's never going to end. I mean, it's, whoa, you're talking about 18 years here. Well, no, it's not that short a time. It's a longer period of time than that. When you consider that adolescence is extending into year 25 in our country today. But the time of parenting is to be able to say, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to take every advantage I can to be with our child, with our children, as much as I can. Instead of the attitude of the man that went to the doctor and he had some illness, and he went to the doctor ran the test and called him back in. He says, you've got a terminal illness. You've got 6 months to live. Well, the man was shocked, just shocked. And he says, what should I do? What would you do? And the doctor said, well, what I would recommend is that you marry a woman with 8 children. And then you buy a pig farm in Montana and live there through the wintertime. And the man looked at the doctor and said, will that cure my illness? He said, no, but that'll be the longest 6 months of your life. That's how it feels for many parents, that parenting is the longest period of time in their life. But it's not. It's not. I remember when I was a young dad, my mom and dad and other adults in the generation ahead of me said, enjoy your children today. Enjoy them where they are today, because you'll turn around twice and they'll be grown. Well, I've turned around once and a half, and Ken is sitting here across from me. It just seemed like yesterday that we brought him home from the hospital. I mean, it's been that short a period of time. So as we parent, as we talk about how to effectively parent, we need to know that children are always watching us in how we live our lives and how we spend our time with them. Children are basically learning what we are living with them. That children really do learn what they live.
But also it's important to understand that as a parent, to be a parent, I may not know all the answers right now. However, if I want to, I can be the best parent in the world. Even if my parents weren't necessarily, I can do it because there are resources out here. There is ways to becoming a parent. There are ways to teach children that we can learn. You know, one of the secrets about being a parent here is if you can get the basics, everything else, you have to stay one day ahead of your child. You don't have to learn it all at once. As they grow up from infant into toddler, you need to stay one step ahead of them. From toddler into adolescent, stay one step ahead of them. All of it, though, is built off the basics. We have 3 basic needs in our life: to be understood for who we are, to be accepted unconditionally, and to be valued more than the whole world. We've talked about those in length. And when we understand that that child has the exact same 3 needs, and that we are the parent, and we fulfill those for the child, we bring them up encouraging those, then all we have to learn are the steps necessary to get them through the stages of life. We don't need to know it all now, but we can learn it, and it's readily available.
And at the same time, remember that as a parent, that you will always be the most important person in that child's life. Always. Until they become grown, until they become an adult, and they separate themselves and begin to live their own lives. And even then, you'll be a very important person in their life. But as children growing up, parents are always the most important person or people in their lives. And they're always watching. And it's comforting to know we don't have to know it all when we have a child, and we certainly don't know it all when we have a child. But it's important to know that, as Ken said, we can stay one day ahead of them. And realize that as we are living our lives with them, we're sharing our life with them, that they are always watching us, looking to us for how they should live their life. And children truly do learn to live by watching us. You know, the old song, Cats in the Cradle.
Oh, yeah.
That is a wonderful song. It teaches a great lesson. But it also teaches that parents have tremendous influence in the life of that child.
There's a poem by Dorothy Law Nolte. If children live with criticism, they learn to condemn. If children live with hostility, they learn to fight. If children live with ridicule, they'll learn to be shy. If children live with shame, they feel guilty. If children live with encouragement, they learn confidence. If they live with tolerance, they learn to be patient. If children live with praise, they learn to appreciate. If children live with acceptance, they learn to love. And if children live with approval, they learn to like themselves. If children live with honesty, they learn truthfulness. If children live with security, they learn to have faith in themselves and others. If children live with friendliness, they learn the world is a nice place in which to live. Children are always observing what's around them, experiencing life. It's a never-ending story.
Let me ask you parents, all of us parents, when we talk with our children, when we interact with our children, what is our focus? What is your focus when you talk with your child or you talk with your children? Do you find yourself more often reacting to something they have said or done? Or do you find yourself proactive and anticipating what they need to say or do? And most of the parents have their hand up, hey, over here, I'm reacting. And some parents say, well, I'm trying to be proactive, and I'm still working at that. The greatest thing we can do as parents is to be proactive. Because children know that if we become reactive, and that is our pattern of interacting with them, then they learn what buttons to push and how to control us, and they become very powerful little people. And so we need to be proactive. We need to know ahead of time what we need our children to be saying and doing, how we need to help them understand what life is about, what the principles of life are about, what the priorities of their life need to be, and to be proactive. The greatest thing as parents that we can provide for our children is structure. Children crave structure. They crave the structure because it's within structure or boundaries that they find security. And I know a lot of parents who have this kind of laissez-faire attitude about parenting. Well, I'll just let the child decide for themselves how they want to live their life, which is not an effective way to raise children. That's my humble opinion.
That's a fact.
We need as parents to provide structure. We need to provide boundaries. Because the parent is always the authority. Always. They are the authority figure. I had a mother come into my office, bring her adolescent son into my office, or try to. And she came into my office, and her appointment time came, and she came on in the door, came on into my office, and she turned around, and her son wasn't there. She looked out my window and said, there he goes. He's running down the street. And she turned to me and said, go get him. I turned back to her and said, you go get him. He's your son. See, that's a parenting issue. She is the authority. She needs to be setting the boundaries, not looking to someone else to set the boundaries for him or for the child. We need to provide structure. It's important for children to have structure and rules so they know what's expected of them. Because there are basically five benefits of this structure. Promoting a positive behavior and self-control can demonstrate structure to a child. Structure helps encourage self-responsibility. Having structure will help protect and strengthen the child's self-esteem and feeling of self-worth. Structure can also help advance development. And structure strengthens that parent-child relationship that is so important with them. Some of the skills and qualities for parents in doing that is to be sure that we are modeling for them how we want them to live their life. How we want them to live their life. There's a little boy just screaming at his mother. And his mother said, why are you screaming at me? Stop screaming at me. Why are you screaming at me? And he looked at her and screamed back, because you're screaming at me. Well, we need to be sure that we are modeling for our children how we want them to live their life. And we need to be giving them attention. Children repeat behaviors that get attention and stop behavior that gets no attention. And then we need to effectively communicate with them, talk with them, to facilitate an open and honest relationship with our child and be able to be clear in what is expected out of them. Sometimes our children don't behave correctly because we haven't explained to them beforehand how we want them to behave. Again, parents, we are the most important person in our child's life, and we need to be clear about those expectations.
But WK, I don't know how to do that. My parents were never there for me. What do you tell someone that's going, I've got this kid, I've got two kids now, and I'm doing the best I can, but what am I supposed to do? I don't know.
First of all, one of the things you can do is look to somebody that has children like the kind you'd like to have, and then be able, perhaps, to talk to those parents and find out how they're doing it. Another thing we can do is to read some books. There's some great books out on parenting today. As far as how to effectively communicate with children, how to be a role model for those kids, how to spend time with those kids, how to share ourselves with them, if that was never modeled for us. And many times as parents, we've got to learn how to do that. Okay. And if we can't do that, if nothing is still working, then we need to see a counselor and talk with a counselor, someone trained to help parents know how to more effectively raise their children.
WK, that sounds all well and good, but you don't know what it's like to have a high-tension, high-energy child that's just off the walls.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. Don't I, son?
I plead the fifth.
I know. Every child is different. Every child is different in the family. If you have more than one child, I guarantee they're all different, no matter how many you have. And it takes the same parent to effectively parent each child according to their temperament, according to their nature, according to what their personality really is. And it takes studying that child, it takes studying those children to effectively do that. We have to spend time with them. We have to learn them, allow them to know us. And it's really an interaction. It's a relationship. It's a parenting relationship that we need with our children. You got any more questions?
Well, if you'd like to join us in studio, the phone number is 862-9977. If you're outside the area or listening online via the streaming audio signal, give us a call toll-free, 800-375-0056. We'd love to hear the stories or hear your opinions. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Ken Boyce with the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and co-host of the radio show, The Life You've Always Wanted, heard here each Monday morning at 10 a.m. Join us this holiday season as we launch Operation Missing Stockings, a support group for those in our community who are missing someone this holiday season. Whether it's due to deployment, divorce, even death, you're not alone. We're here. We understand. Join us as we support each other this holiday season. Call 882-6767 for details. That's 882-6767. Call now.
And you're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted. Brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Once again, your hosts, WK and Ken Boyce, in the second half of the show.
And we're talking about parenting. For those that just may be joining us, what we've talked about, kind of in a nutshell, in the first half of the program, has been about parenting and about how to effectively parent. But one of the things we want to mention and really emphasize here is that in a two-parent family, that the marriage relationship is still the primary relationship. It is still the most important relationship in the family. That's not to say that the parenting relationship, parent-child relationship, those relationships are not important. But the children's security is in that marriage relationship, their sense of security, and that meets those needs we talked about early in the program, of attachment and affiliation, of belonging. So it's important that as we parent, that we allow ourselves permission to be apart from our kids, to be able to say to them, we're going to take a night and we're going to go on a date, or we're going to go away for a weekend. And that's good for the parents. That's good for the kids to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about parenting, and we're really emphasizing the parenting relationship is still important to focus on adult relationships that we have in our life.
What is it that creates such a strong bond with the children, or that allows the children in a lot of ways to become more important than the marriage? I know there's some physical changes. When a woman gives birth, she has the physical chemical changes that happen when that birth takes place. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other things that drive that to where we do, in a lot of ways, tend to shed the health of the marriage trying to protect and raise the children?
Well, in addition to the chemical and hormonal influx, especially on the part of a mother, after she gives birth to a child, that oxytocin kicks in, and it's a tremendous bond that that develops between mom and child.
Oxytocin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's the word for the day.
Also, it's the chemical that's important between spouses that create that sense of oneness, that sense of monogamy, that desire just for each other.
Mm-hmm.
But what really comes into play in our parenting many times is how we were parented, the families that we grew up in. What really kicks in are those experiences, those felt experiences, that emotional context of how our needs were met, and if our needs were met in a healthy way or in healthy ways when we were children growing up, then we provide those for our children. If our needs were not met in healthy ways, or they weren't met at all, then many times we attempt to meet our children's needs that weren't met in ours, or we tend to over-identify with our kids, and that pulls us away from our marriage.
Hmm.
And so we need to protect ourselves about that. Just be aware about that, that that can happen. And that if it is happening, we need to be sure that we come back together as spouses and reconnect periodically from time to time. That's one of the reasons why the Marriage Excitement Weekend is so good. It's an opportunity for spouses to get away and to reconnect in healthy ways.
We've seen some real magic at those events. We've seen
some couples
that just absolutely, for lack of a better word, a miracle occurred. We had one couple at the Dallas-Fort Worth event that had been married, divorced, and remarried.
To each other.
To each other. And still just weren't quite connected in the way they needed to be as a couple. And after the Marriage Excitement Weekend, getting refocused, getting someone to be able to say, this is the way it should be, it was empowering to them. We got a report back, a letter back, going, WK, I've never seen this couple this happy. I've never seen them smile like this. That's what we need. That creates an environment for our kids, for our children, and sets an example for when they become adults, when we focus on each other. I know one of the strongest feelings, and I know there's people out there going, well, yeah, but I'm going to do anything for my kids. I would die for my kids.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. I don't know of any parent that would not give their own life to save their child. But giving your life for an emergency situation is different than sacrificing your marriage.
Yeah, it's a completely different thing.
Children, parenting, we are working our way out of a job.
That's a good way to say it.
Parenting, even though it takes years, is still a temporary event. The marriage, what created the child, is what's important. Now, a lot of people go, okay, though that's great. You're married, you got husband, wife, kids, great American dream. I'm a single parent. It didn't happen for me that way. That's okay, too. Because still, being the parent and raising those children is still an incredibly powerful experience to go through. And they're still looking at us as how we live our lives, how we react, how we engage others to know how they need to live. We're still working our way out of a job, even if we're single parents. Just sometimes there's other challenges. They're different.
Yeah, and sometimes we're single parents because of death or because of divorce. But sometimes we feel like a single parent and effectively are a single parent because of the work schedules.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps dad's working all night and the kid's hardly seen. And mom is left with the responsibilities in the morning and at night getting them to bed and helping with homework and bath time and all kinds of things. And she feels like a single parent. Or perhaps mom or dad is deployed right now. And parent left at the house is a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
You're still empowered as a parent. You're still the authority figure. Your adult needs, adult conversation and interaction, it still needs to be met on an adult basis and not with those kids. To keep from over-identifying with the kids and help keep that perspective, it helps to have good friends that we can turn to and keep that interaction on that level rather than turning to our kids, make them our world, which kids were never meant to be.
Doesn't take much for them to take over.
Well, that's so true. And there's some pitfalls that we need to avoid as parents that I'd like to maybe spend a few minutes here talking about this morning as well. Because if we get trapped in these pitfalls, then the kids can take over. And we abdicate our responsibility. Really, we abdicate our authority if we don't recognize the pitfalls and know how to get out of them. For instance, let me ask, how many of you have a child that has seen a toy on TV? And it's Saturday morning, and maybe you're doing laundry, and the kids are watching their morning cartoons, and it happens. Your middle child sees that toy, the toy of his dreams on TV, and he starts in with begging, and he doesn't let up. Now, there's two responses to these pitfalls. One is, do we raise an angel or do we raise a brat? Now, that's kind of putting it bluntly, but that's what happens. Well, the brat building response to that situation is that you run to the store to buy your child exactly what they want, and then what happens is that you have taught them that nagging is an effective tool for getting their way. Whereas the angel part of that, the angel building response is you can say, you know, that's a cool toy. Let me find out how much it is, and I can help you save your allowance for it. And you're teaching your child to work toward a goal instead of giving in to a demand.
Yeah, but WK, they don't stop nagging. They just keep on and on and on. What am I supposed to do?
Well, you set the boundary and you live with it. You say no and you mean it. You are the authority figure. That's what I'm talking about. Because if you give in, even once, then you have taught that child that all they've got to do is beg one more time and you can say no. And they've got you. And you've got a brat on your hands. Instead of a self-disciplined, self-responsible child.
Okay.
And there's some other pitfalls as well.
I was just thinking as far as the nagging and the whining. One of the things that we're discussing here is not that the child is bad or that we're...
Mm-mm.
But we're talking about behaviors and choices. So when you're listening to some of these ideas, keep that in mind. Is that we focus on the behavior and the choice. Even giving the child the choice.
Especially giving the child the choice. Yeah, we're not saying at all the child's bad. And I don't encourage parents at all to ever tell their children that they're bad or that they're being bad. Because children are being children. They're not being bad. They're just being immature. And they need to be taught how to live more effectively.
But this is also one of the challenges as a parent. I can honestly say that as a person in my mid-30s, I now have an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and an almost 9-month-old.
And oh, they're so precious, I tell you.
Oh, I love them. Being a dad's the best thing in the world.
No, being a granddad.
But as someone who's 35, I definitely parent now different than I would have if I'd have been in my early 20s, which is kind of where I always assumed I would be a parent, just like my parents were and my grandparents were. So many times my mom says, if I knew then what I know now, you'd have turned out differently, Ken. Because my mom and I were very adversarial. We're strong-willed. That's just the,
very strong-willed, yeah.
That's the nature of who we are. But now mom's been teaching kids from preschool on to about age 6, and she has learned so many skills and so many ways of parenting that she didn't have when she was 20 when she had me. Same thing goes with me today, is that as someone that's 35, I tend to go back and have the children know that this is a choice. You chose to do this, or this was a bad choice. It's not that you were a bad child, but that the behavior was not appropriate. The choice was not a good choice. That way, I build up who they can be to their fullest potential, not putting them down. And that is so different than if I had been in my early 20s. But these are things that we can learn. This is part of the example. Have you ever decided to try to bribe your kid? You know, the boss is coming over for dinner on Friday night. And while you beg someone to be able to take them, no one's out there. Grandparents aren't there, sisters, uncles, aunts. Is it time to start bribing them to be quiet with maybe the latest toy? Just be quiet and here you go. Here's this great new toy.
Happens a lot.
Parents often try to buy good behavior by getting the kids really expensive gifts. And then they say, I don't understand why she isn't any better behaved. They get everything they want. The reason is these cool gifts lose their meaning if the child feels entitled, and the child will become less behaved. What we need to do is to allow them the opportunity to earn what you give them. Again, this is a reward for making good choices, for being there and making the right choices. Tell them that this is what they can get for being well-behaved. You can get one item within a certain amount of money within a budget for helping out with this, whether it was doing the dishes, doing the laundry, being well-behaved while the boss is there. Just being well-behaved any day. Parents, this is something that's absolutely incredible, is when you give them the little surprises. Now, in this case, we're talking about, you know, a nicer gift, maybe the tennis shoes they always wanted, or the new video game, you know, the guitar. I forget what the, I don't know what the name of that one is, but every kid in Walmart playing this game. It's an electronic guitar and, you know, with a button.
I saw that.
But one of the most important things, one of the most powerful things, is when they've been good in school. They got an A on paper, and you take them out for an ice cream cone. That is one of the most special times for a kid.
As a surprise.
As a surprise.
Yeah.
And you reinforce that good behavior. And you let them know that I'm proud of you and the choices that you made. And the kids absolutely love the time together. Critical. Now,
another pitfall that really just winds parents' clocks is what I call the divide and conquer. No, you've been very clear in giving your child a decisive no when they've asked to do something. And so their tactic then is, well, I'll go ask the other parent. And if they get a yes, after mom said no, it teaches them to divide and conquer. They learn that they can divide their parents and they can fool them. And if they are manipulative enough, they can get what they want every time. So what parents have to do is that we have to be proactive and we need to enforce in advance. And by that, I mean, we tell a child that if you ask mom and get a no, and then you ask dad and get a yes, the no still stands. Okay? And then they have consequences for going to the other parent to get another answer. And the consequence is, and you fill in the blank. But there are consequences always to behavior. There are consequences to choices. And part of teaching our children to make good choices is to helping them learn through the bad ones. That there are consequences. There are consequences for good choices. There are consequences for bad ones. Okay? If we want our children as teenagers to make good choices as teenagers, and all parents do, then we need to start helping them learn how to make good choices when they're 4, 5, and 6 years of age. Begin back then. And teach them that divide and conquer just does not work.
As we begin to wrap things up, discussing parenting, as with everything else, it starts with us. We have to look at ourselves. We have to look at the choices we make. We have to look at the life we lead. Because I guarantee our children are watching every move we make.
And imitating it.
So as we take on this mantle of parenting, first of all, we have to know what we believe. Do we have the core values? Do we have something that we're passing on to our children? And what are they? To know that we are the authority in their lives, that we set the boundaries. And in setting the boundaries, we provide safety. You ever put a kid out into a field and just let them run? They can run out of ways and not know how far they should go, maybe get lost. Playgrounds have fences. They can run anywhere within that at full speed. There's safety and security knowing those boundaries.
And they'll play all over the playground.
They will. But it also teaches them those boundaries allow for responsibility. It also teaches them respect, respecting of the authority and being accountable to us. If we can pass on our values by going through the decisions they're making, helping them with choices, understanding the choices they make, rewarding those that are good, disciplining those that are not, but never come down on the child as being bad, that it's us guiding, working ourselves out of a job. We are teaching them to become the best they can be in their life. But again, we have to look at us, and we have to make sure that we're standing on solid ground, because they will, every time, come back on us. You've been listening to The Life You've Always Wanted. This is brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. We're at 3734 South Avenue. That's one block west of Kickapoo High School. Very easy to find. If you have questions about parenting, or if you have questions about grandparents, we didn't even go into that today with the holiday season and the relationship between parents and grandparents, and the kids will talk about the divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
If parents say no, go to grandparents.
Go to grandparents. Ooh.
And we may bring that up next weekend. But if you have questions, if you have concerns, if you want to learn how to be the best, if someone goes, how was your dad? Do you want him to say, he was the best dad I ever had? Or do you go, he was okay? The choice is ours. It's your life.
It's your choice. Make it a great one.